Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all. Or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt. And it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
And now, KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three over Karis LeVert and nails it.
Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago.
Give me the hot sauce!
Covering everything from the dynasty to Derek to DeMar. KC Johnson.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
With Mullin Haugh.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Mullin Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Exciting times in the NBA, and always a joy to talk to KC Johnson. He joins us, as all guests do, on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. KC, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
We are fired up because, you know, the Bulls are on their longest winning streak of the season with the three games and one game below 500. And if they maintain, as I said to David, their laser focus tonight, that's a joke, they can go ahead and get the longest winning streak of the year.
I did pick up on that joke. That's a good joke.
It's terrible.
John Morant does not approve, but I do. So, yeah, I mean, we've been here before, right? Almost at 500, almost a four-game win streak. They are facing a tough opponent that's obviously going to be hungry, given how much they've been scuffling of late. I believe Ja is on track to play after missing the last game with some wrist soreness, so it's right there for them, and they got to go play hard and try to get a W.
So, KC, how has the last three games, all victories, affected, if at all, the thinking of AK as the Bulls near the trade deadline? And do you think that if they were leaning one way before the last three-game winning streak, they have been swayed by it?
No, it's a valid question, certainly on the minds of a lot of people. I can just tell you my impression is that that's not how they operate. And, you know, you can't have – I don't think they're that waffling and that on the fence. I think you make a decision, as multiple people have been reporting, that, you know, when I talk to other teams that have acquired on the Bulls, you know, the impression from the other teams is the Bulls are going to pretty much keep what they've got. That's what they've been telling teams, like, no, you know, obviously I hate the word untouchable, because, you know, you come with a ridiculous offer, you're not doing your job if you don't consider it. But the impression is that from the other teams is the Bulls are going to stand pat, or at least, you know, not, I shouldn't say stand pat, but at least not move off any of their big pieces. So, you know, that's, I don't think a small sample size or, you know, a small three-game win streak should change philosophy. And, you know, obviously a big offer can change that thinking, but that's a premise that I'm working under as we move towards the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job of flying under the radar. I mean, when you hear people say that teams around the league don't know what they want to do, aren't sure whether they're looking to make a big deal or not, that tells you that they've done a very good job of kind of flying low and making sure that whatever they're doing is not going to influence other teams that want to jump in on some deal or whatever it might be. They really do a great kind of cloak and dagger operation.
Yeah, that's also kind of their reputation around the league. Obviously, Arturis has been known like that for a while, even dating to his days in Denver. The other thing to consider, guys, when you look at the Bulls roster, is they really do not have a lot of trade capital. I mean, unless you're getting involved in a big move where you move one of those big three, they don't have a lot of those mid-price contracts for matching salaries. I mean, Kobe would be one, but, you know, I know that he has value within the locker room and within the organization. they basically have a lot of big salaries and a lot of minimum salaries. And they don't obviously have a lot of draft picks. So they're finding a trade partner is not impossible, but it makes it a little bit more difficult unless you're getting involved in one of those big moves where you're going off one of the big three. So that's another thing to consider. That's not to say that nothing will happen. Drummond's name has been out there. Kobe's name has been out there. Teams are still calling on Caruso. That's pretty well documented. So we'll see how it plays out between now and Thursday. This is a fluid time, and like I said, a big offer can change their thinking. But as of now, I don't see any of the big main core pieces moving from the Bulls.
So help me understand the odyssey that Andre Drummond's season has been. Last 11 games, 5 DNP coaches' decisions, I believe, KC. And last night he has his highest scoring output in 2 years, has a double-double. I know it was the Spurs, but it seems as if he's been very professional in his taking his inconsistency. Billy Donovan has explained it. I'm not quite sure I understand it. How do you explain what happened last night? And is he a guy that you think could be on the move?
He certainly could be on the move. His name's been out there in conversations I've had. The joke in the media room last night was trade Vooch and build around Drummond since he's a starting center, but I don't see that happening. I mean, Billy's explained it pretty clearly. He likes Derrick Jones Jr. at center because it gives him the ability to switch 1 through 5, and they were playing a lot of teams that ran a lot of screen roll. It was funny, as good as Andre was offensively last night, the first thing Billy talked about was his defense, and it went past the three steals. It went to his rim protection and his ability to move his feet in screen roll situations. And I think that's what got Andre into trouble. When he fell out of the rotation, was he was getting into foul trouble very quickly, having difficulty in screen roll. And you're spot on, David. He handled it incredibly professionally. He's always taken the high road. I've had a few private conversations with him. He's always taken the high road. There's this circulated story now in the locker room where he bought every player on the team these expensive, very expensive, huge boxes of cookies and had them sitting in their locker before the last home game. When we asked him about a shoot around yesterday, he said, "I just want to spread some love with Valentine's Day coming up." I mean, he and Vooch talk very respectfully of each other, not only because of their shared battles over the years on the court, but also the way they push each other in practice and the way they support each other. So good for him. You know, he's a veteran. He's in year 11. He's figured out his role in this league is to do whatever the coach asks him. I tell you this, when you talk to the guy, he clearly sees himself still as a starter in this league. But, you know, last two seasons, he's backed up Joel Embiid and Nikola Vucevic. So that's not happening on those two teams. And we'll see what happens with him between now and Thursday. I think if the right offer comes along for him, it's not even a knock on him. I just think you have an opportunity to maybe add some shooting there or fill a need if somebody wants to pay for a backup center that's playing at a high level.
It was interesting to hear Pop before the game talk about the game of basketball. I know it was fun when he and Sam were doing the back and forth, but he talked about how prevalent three-point shooting is and how important it is in the league, and obviously he's not a huge fan of that fact and feels that the game of basketball has changed dramatically because of the three-point shot, and clearly it has changed dramatically. But the Bulls didn't really knock down any threes, and they won by 24. Like, they were, 6 of 22. Does that have to change, KC? Do they have to be better with their three-point shooting? Is that still one of the weaknesses of this group, and do they need to address that in some fashion? And how difficult is that to do at this point in the season?
Well, it's not difficult because you can – that's what I mean. I would not be surprised to see Drummond in a deal for a shooter that's out of some rotation somewhere. You know, it wouldn't be a big name, but there's an opportunity there. You know, what's funny, Molly, is I think the Bulls have been playing very well offensively lately. They've been shooting a very high percentage. They've been recording 25 or more assists virtually every game. They've been getting 5 to 7 players in double figures. That's exactly the offensive philosophy that Billy Donovan envisioned when he installed these tweaks to this offense that was trying to get rid of some of the isolation play that defined the stretch of last season. Now, that said, if you want to go, places in this league, particularly in the regular season, you do need three-point shooting. It's just simple math. And even Pop acknowledged that. He said that's right. It's just math. I mean, it's never going back. That's just where the league has gone. And I do think, the numbers bear it out. I mean, the three-point shooting has been a weakness of this team all season. It's not the percentage. They shoot a good percentage from three. It's the attempts. They've been 28th, 29th, or 30th all season in attempts. So I think it's an issue. I think we've been writing since last summer that it's an issue. That said, they have been playing well offensively of late. Come playoff time, I do think the three-point shot, while still very valuable, is a little bit less important just because the game slows down, tightens up, gets more physical, gets more in the half court, gets sometimes more mid-rangey. So it's a fun debate. I personally am kind of leaning towards Popway. He called the game boring because it's all right. Three-point shots. I'm a traditionalist too. I kind of like the way the Bulls play just for my own eye, but by simple math, you're going to die a lot more often than you're not, just because you look down and you're, minus 18 from the three-point line in that game. And that's a tough way to go.
KC, I know you don't like to comment on other people's reporting, but I look at some of these rumors that are circulating about the Bulls maybe showing interest in Mike Conley or Terry Rozier, and I know that there might not be anything to that, but I do wonder if those names are being out there and maybe the Bulls are making phone calls. It suggests to me that this is a regime that believes in this season still, that they're going to take this as far as it can go. That maybe even if it tops out at a first-round playoff victory or whatever the case may be, they still think that with this core, they're going to see as much as possible that they're going to give it a chance to succeed. Is that reading too far into some of these rumors? Do you expect that to be the mindset heading into the trade deadline?
Well, I think the mindset is accurate, but I don't think the targets are accurate. I think the mindset's accurate with what they have on their roster, because if you're going to go get one of those guys, you're trading one of those core pieces. That goes back to my earlier point. They don't have the mid-range salaries to get up to those guys' numbers without trading one of the big three. So the mindset to me is absolutely accurate. You've heard this ad nauseum from management, the times that they talk on the record is, continuity, see this group grow together, improvement. And there's still belief, at least my read on it, there's still belief internally that this group can do that. Obviously, if they end up between now and Thursday trading one of those big three, an offer came in that changed that mindset. But they're not going to get those guys like Conley or Rozier unless they're giving up one of the big three. So to me, it comes back to the salary structure, and that to me limits a little bit of what you can do if you are going to keep those three core pieces together, which it sounds like they plan on doing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, looking at contracts, right? So Vooch has an expiring contract. That would be one of the reasons that he could be on the move, just because you need to get something, or you're going to have to give him some money. Kobe White, they've got a decision to make on him, right? Isn't he a restricted free agent? Who else would fall into that category?
Drummond's got a player option. DeRozan's extension eligible, but he's signed through next season. Zach's just starting out. Caruso, totally team-friendly deal. So, I've said to you guys that my eyes have been on Vooch because of that contract situation. The difference with Kobe is you still have the power there. You can match.
Yes.
You can sign and trade. You have a lot of different ways you can go there. Vooch is a little trickier, but I have not heard much with Vooch. I've made some calls and I've not heard much on Vooch, but 2 years ago I hadn't heard a word about Vooch, and then he was traded from Orlando to the Bulls. So things can happen, but yeah, I don't see them going out and getting any of those guys unless you're including one of your big three.
KC, I saw your report during the broadcast, one of them over the weekend, I believe it was, about Kyrie Irving and how if the Bulls were to get involved in a remote way, it would have been as a third team potentially. That didn't happen. just wondered, when you look at the Kyrie deal now, what were your reaction was in terms of what that means to the Eastern Conference and just overall as a guy who's covered the league for a long time, the reality of having a guy who has been so disruptive and yet so talented?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kendall Gill came back with a good comp in my ear that night. He said, well, the Bulls traded for Dennis Rodman once, right? And I will say that was a good point. I'm not a Kyrie guy just because I've seen – that's a good word, destruction. Did you see – yeah, you said destruction. I'm not – it's a weird one because you're right. He is such a sublime talent and plays at such a high level this season. But he just – to me, it makes it difficult. And I know some people in the Nets organization, and I know that there's been a sigh of relief with that situation being resolved. So, you know, the way to look at that trade is, does KD stay? I mean, that if KD stays, to me, it's a win. I think you got a decent package for him, given that he's kind of holding you hostage. As far as it impacting the East, you know, the Bulls own the Nets even with Kyrie on the team. I don't see it impacting the East much. I mean, you know, that team's going to go where KD takes them. Bulls aren't really in that conversation. And the last quick comp that I came up with when Kendall brought up the Rodman analogy to me after the fact, I didn't think of this quickly enough on air. My buddy Sam Smith helped me with this, is that the Bulls had incredible leadership structure when they brought Rodman in, you know, going to Jordan right. Pippen and making right. sure they'd keep him in line. So the Bulls were never in on that Kyrie thing, except if they were going to get involved in a three-way.
Damian Lillard on the way? Who said that? There was somebody. Like,
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett. Yeah, there you go. The Bulls should trade for, yeah. Why don't the Bulls
Casey,
get
we,
LeBron?
We agreed that the Bulls, Chicago should offer the bean for Dame Lillard.
There you go.
And then there you go. Future capologist, Kevin Garnett.
But they could never make a move like that. They need to trade two guys to get him, two of the big three.
Yeah, numbers are pretty high on those contracts. Yeah, Dame's a special dude, though, man.
Oh, wow. Great play.
That was an incredible – he's one of the few guys that I actually get really excited to watch play basketball. Obviously, when you've been doing this as long as we all have, you appreciate all nights, but there are certain nights where you get pretty fired up, and he's one of them. He's worth the price of admission. That guy's something special to watch.
And, Casey, knowing you, I know that you'll take that approach tonight if LeBron James is able to get – 36 points and pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as to be the all-time leading scorer. You've always been a guy that has respected LeBron. I just wondered if you'll be taking time out tonight to make sure that you see that, if that happens, or maybe having the flair for the dramatic, LeBron will wait until Thursday night for a national televised game against the Bucks.
He'll sit out this one.
Yeah, and 36 is a lot. I mean, he can get it, obviously, but 36 is a lot. But no, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's NBA history, and you know, the fact he's top five assists too speaks to his greatness, his longevity, his consistency, his durability. Just keep naming adjectives. And I thought Popovich was fantastic about him pregame, talking about the most impressive thing about him is that he's just held himself with such class and such, you know, great representation since he's a teenager. I mean, this guy's been in the spotlight in the social media era and the Twitter age his entire life, and he's had what? As Pop said, one small, insignificant, or irrelevant snafu with the decision, which, you know, rip it for all you want. It was kind of dumb, but it still raised a lot of money for charity. So if that's his lowest moment, I mean, the dude is, you know, I know he can be polarizing and difficult at times for organizations because he can be a little passive aggressive at times, but the way he's represented the league, oh my gosh, and just such a great player for such a long time.
He said yesterday that he wasn't complaining, but he would like to be able to go to Target.
I know.
I'd like to not have to go to Target, Casey.
Yeah.
They deliver.
Welcome to Michael Jordan's world, right? You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it. Good stuff, KC.
Have fun, guys. Take care.
All right.
That is KC Johnson.